Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Have you ever noticed that some people don't really seem to fit in well at our church? In fact, many don't really seem like they would belong at any church. They don't think like us. They don't talk like us. And worst of all, they certainly don't believe like us. They may have strange ideas about how to interpret the Bible or think that certain passages of Scripture are unimportant or not binding. And on the theological spectrum, they're definitely left of center. They probably grew up in one of those liberal Protestant denominations that picks and chooses which parts of the Bible it wants to believe. Yet just before they walked through the door, couldn't they tell that we're not just any old Lutheran church? We are the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod, LCMS. Other people seem like they don't belong at our church, not because of theological differences, but because of their sinful living. They maybe drink too much, or they lose their temper at church meetings, or they bear grudges and gossip about other people. They're just too arrogant and full of themselves, or downright mean and nasty. Quite frankly, they don't really act like Christians, and so we have a hard time believing that they are Christians. Maybe they just go to church in order to make their spouses happy. Maybe they see church as a kind of social club, a fun place to hang out with others. And some of them may even see our fellowship as a networking opportunity to develop more clients for their business. And an even smaller group of them may just be plain evil. Wolves in sheep's clothing who are literally hell-bent on undermining the ministry of the Church of Christ. And what are we supposed to do with these people? Clearly, they're a threat to the unity and peace of our congregation, to the entire body of Christ. Can we really coexist with sinners like that? Isn't there something that we can do to weed them out of the church? Surely there must be some way that we can weed them out and protect our fellowship to be pure and holy at all times. Well, this might surprise you, but heretics and hypocrites are nothing new in the Christian church. Since the earliest days of Jesus and the apostles, one of the disciples, Judas, was a thief and a traitor. And before his ascension, Jesus knew that the church would be rocked by rivalries and jealousy, by scandal and by false teachers. Of course, he also knew that the church's pastors and people would struggle to figure out what to do with these problem people. So he told them a story to teach them what to do. The parable of the wheat and the weeds, or if you first heard this in your younger days in the King James Version, the wheat and the tares. When I was a kid, I was confused and didn't understand what the word tare meant. It sounded like terror to me. I thought this was the parable of the wheat and the terrors, the scary things. And of course, the way that Jesus tells it, the tares are terrible, aren't they? Well, here is another earthly story with a heavenly meaning. This parable of the wheat and the weeds, like the parable of the sower last week, begins with a farmer. And Jesus says that the kingdom of heaven, the reign of God, is like a farmer sowing seed in his field. And yet while the farmhands sleep, the farmer's enemy comes and scatters the seeds of weeds on top of it. I don't know if any of you have ever gotten into a feud with one of your neighbors, but did you ever get so desperate that like this enemy you thought, I know how to show Mr. and Mrs. Jones or Mr. and Mrs. Smith, I'm going to scatter dandelion seeds on their lawn. Probably not. It's definitely an extreme action. Bible scholars tell us this bad seed is likely the plant known scientifically as Lolium temulentum, a weed commonly called darnel or cheat wheat. Any of you that grew up on farms know the plant that I'm talking about? No, no one's a farmer anymore. Well, They say that darnel, in its early stages of growth, looks a lot like wheat. But it's not wheat. It's toxic. And in large quantities of consumption, it's deadly. And when it matures, darnel has a black seed head, unlike that golden wheat head of the wheat. And those black seeds are where the poison is. Darn that darnel. So when the farmer's servants recognize that weeds are growing in the master's field, they're very concerned. And with the best of intentions, they offer to pull up those weeds. They don't want anyone to get sick or die if the tares get mixed in with the weeds at the harvest and ground into the flour and baked into the bread. They want to get rid of it now while it's easier. By the way, not only do they have what sounds like a good practical idea to someone like me, but it's also the way that farmers in the ancient world ordinarily dealt with weeds. As soon as they spot them, they got rid of them. They didn't have fancy computerized combines that automatically could separate the darnel from the wheat. They didn't have special herbicides that targeted just the weeds and left the wheat unharmed. So they needed to get rid of the darnel as soon as they could. Last week, I told you that I don't have a green thumb, and I have to admit that I hate doing yard work. I grew up in our property growing up as a kid. We had about an acre of land and probably about 20 or 30 trees on it. So my stepdad always made me and my sisters pick up the sticks. It was a lot of sticks. And then he always had this wonderful idea in the fall that instead of getting rid of the leaves from the trees, you know, mulching them up in the mower, we would instead collect them in yard waste bags and put them around the foundation of the house as extra insulation. So we had the fun of filling the bags and then moving the bags, and then in the summer, moving the bags of mulch from the side of the house to a pile and then back again in the fall. I hated yard work. So when we lived in our townhome in Centennial, even though it was a small place, I loved the fact that the landscapers hired by the HOA took care of all the maintenance, all the mowing, all that good stuff. And let me tell you, when we had our own home here in Castle Rock and our own yard to manage, the first time that those dandelions started popping up all over the yard, I decided to go with the nuclear option. And I went to Home Depot, and I got a big container of Roundup, and I went in the yard, and I started spraying any plant that looked like a weed to me, quite liberally, quite, like I said, I took the nuclear option. And within a couple hours, I was very satisfied because I had killed all the weeds. But unfortunately, I had also killed a lot of green grass along with it. Because Roundup doesn't just kill the weeds, it kills the grass too. Did you know that? I found out the hard way. But the master says, no, don't pull up the darnel. Don't spray the weeds. He's not a typical farmer. He doesn't take his servants' recommendations and do what makes sense. Instead, he says, let the weeds and the wheat grow together. Because he's worried that in their eagerness to help, if they dig up the darnel, they will dig up some of the wheat along with it. And he does not want to lose even a single stalk of wheat from the crop. For the sake of the wheat, he says, wait on the weeds, hold off. And then when the harvest comes, then they can gather and burn the tares before reaping the rest of the field. So what does this mean? Well, as we discovered last week, the key to understanding the parables of Jesus is to look for the secret, the mystery, the bizarre behavior, the unexpected twist. Jesus tells us that the eccentric farmer represents himself, Jesus, the Son of Man. The good seeds that he sows are his children, those baptized believers who are loved by their Lord and love him also. But while the workers are sleeping, the enemy, the devil, comes and sows his own children right in the middle of the rest of them. The cheat wheat, the darnel, represents the hypocrites, the heretics, the unbelievers who attach themselves to the visible institutional church, but they're not really part of the church. They're not really part of the body of Christ because they don't have faith in Jesus. As we confess in the Lutheran writings, Augsburg Confession, Article 8, strictly speaking, the church is the congregation of saints and true believers. But many hypocrites and evil persons are mingled with them in this life. And these wicked people cause all kinds of trouble in the church. They cause division and scandal and false teaching, all of which are toxic and spiritually deadly. So when the Lord's servants, the pastors, the other people of the church, see the hypocrites and the heretics, they're rightly concerned about the apparent impurity of the congregation. They are eager to weed out the wicked and keep a righteous remnant. But we need to be careful that in our eagerness to clean up the Lord's garden, we don't kill the wheat along with the weeds. As I mentioned earlier, when we lived at the townhouse, the landscapers for the HOA were responsible for the yard work. And when we first moved in at that house, we were so pleased that we had these lovely bluish-purple columbines in our front yard. The state flower of Colorado, right? But the following year, before the flowers bloomed, the landscapers mistook them as weeds and uprooted our columbines and pulled them out. We were so angry. They were beautiful. Now, of course, the HOA had to pay for replacing them and everything, but they put in these nasty yellow columbines, which the yellow, who likes yellow? Not nearly as nice as purple, I'll tell you that. Well, the point here is that it's not, she didn't like it either, see? She's screaming in outrage. But the point is that it's not always easy to tell the difference between a weed and a flower, or between weed and wheat. And the same is true in the Christian church. How do we discern if someone is a weed or a wheat? After all, just because we don't think that somebody lives up to our standard of what it means to be a Christian doesn't mean that they're not a Christian. Jesus says, "Judge not, that you be not judged. For with the same measure that you judge, you will be judged." Unlike us, Jesus withholds judgment until the last day, the day of his second coming, the day of harvest. And in the meantime, he powerfully demonstrates grace and forbearance. He tells us to be patient and wait for the harvest, the end of the world. And then at the completion of all things, God's angels will sort out the weeds from the wheat, the wicked from the righteous, the unbelievers from the faithful. The Lord will sort them out so we don't have to. We can leave them be and let God deal with them. And in the meantime, Jesus urges us to be patient with the unbelievers and with the hypocrites, just as he is patient toward us. Not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance and come to the knowledge of the truth. For the time being, Jesus is willing to let the weeds creep in among the wheat. He allows the unbelievers and the hypocrites and the boorish sinners to live right alongside the saints. And there's no need for us to make distinction. He will sort us out. And until that day, we just keep hearing the word, believing the word, receiving his gifts, growing and bearing that beautiful fruit, that beautiful grain of golden wheat, as we are forgiven and extend his forgiveness to others. I have to admit, there's another reason why I believe the sower in Jesus' parable tells the servants not to pull out the weeds until the harvest time. And even though Jesus doesn't say this in his explanation, I think it's in keeping with his character. I think that the farmer doesn't cut down the weeds and burn them right away because he's giving them time to turn into wheat. The farmer lets the weeds have time to become wheat. Now, I know that biologically speaking, that's stupid. Weeds and wheat have completely different DNA, and weeds will never become wheat. But spiritually speaking, I am much more optimistic. Scripture says that Jesus will not break a bruised reed. And I have no doubt that the same Lord who can turn water into wine can turn weeds into wheat. Isn't that what he did with my heart? Isn't that what he did with yours? Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear. In the name of Jesus, amen.